We're back at the Daviess County Museum on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW. I'm Dave Crooks, and tonight we go to our final segment of our 1950s Memories Round Ball discussion. And to wrap it up, here's Doug Doherty, the president of the Daviess County Museum.
Welcome back, and we're going to talk about the Washington Catholic Cardinals of the 50s and John Brigeman. John, you were a 1959 graduate. You played, I believe you were a three-year starter. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah.
And you went on to a four-year career at Austin Peay University in both baseball and basketball.
Yeah, true.
Tell us a little bit about your career. And before you do that, the Birdcage. What was it like back then in the Birdcage? That's the only gym still in use today by a Daviess County high school team from the same gym as the 50s.
The Birdcage was a special place. I know that. Everybody hated to come in there and play. They still do.
They still do.
But I had some good years there, and I went on to have a good down at Austin Peay. I done some good things down there too. I was probably a better baseball player than I was a basketball player.
That's what I've heard. Yeah,
I got hurt my junior year. I hurt my knee, and that might have cost me. I might have been able to play pro ball if I didn't get hurt. But that's the way it goes.
You know? Well, I know you were a left-handed shooter in basketball.
Yes, I was left-handed all the way.
So baseball, same thing?
Yeah.
Throw left, bat left?
Yeah.
Who were some of your teammates in high school you recall that were good ball players and other players, Washington Catholic players in the 50s? I was looking at the 53, which I know is well before you would have been in grade school, but there was a Downey that played. Was he related to Bob Downey?
Yeah, Terry Downey, that's Bob's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assumed it was.
Yeah, that's true. But Terry was a really good player, too. I think he went on to play basketball maybe Louisville or somewhere. I don't know. I'm not sure.
And there were some, if I remember correctly, some Copples, Hayeses.
Yes.
Some good ball players, Washington Catholic. I don't want to miss anybody. But
my junior year was probably the best team I played on. And it was Billy Koppel and Barney Smith.
Barney Smith.
Yeah. They were good players. Billy Hayes, he played on that team. That was probably the best team we've had. And we won the tournament down what? Holiday Tourney.
Holiday Tourney.
Yeah, we won Holiday Tourney that year.
So you must have went into coaching right after Austin Peay, and then you went.
Yeah,
went right into Montgomery High School.
Yeah, I went right into Montgomery after that, and then I was there 2 years, and then I laid out 4 or 5 years. Then I went to Washington Catholic. And Washington Catholic, I had some good years there.
Early 70s, 72 to 77.
Yeah, right. My best team was I told the seniors, I can't remember what year it was, but it was might have been 73. And I told my seniors, I said, guys, I'm going to have to let you guys sit on the bench because I've got some sophomores that's going to be really good players, and I'm going to play them. I'm going to start all of them.
Yep.
And they went right along with it, and we ended up winning 14 ball games 2 years in a row.
And I believe you beat the Hatchets one of those years.
Yes. Yes, we beat the Hatchets 1 year.
I'm just sorry I had to bring that up. The only reason I brought that up is I was reading an article and getting ready for this, and I noticed that. So.
Yeah, that's right. Some of the players back then was David Doyle. He was a good player. Mark Smith, Danny Van Loo,
Who was your biggest rival? Was it the Crosstown Hatchets?
Well.
Or did you really consider that your WCU was like your rival back then?
I think our biggest rival was Vincennes Catholic. Catholic and Washington Catholic, we was always big rivals.
Okay.
And they always had good teams, and we had pretty good teams too.
Albert or Jerry or Norm, you guys, I know, saw John play. Any comments about John Brigham and his athletic prowess?
I well remember John as a basketball player, and certainly he was probably the area top player at that time. Sorry, Norm. But but you had a lot of teammates too that went along with you to really make an outstanding team, and but John was so athletic in all respects, and not only that, but John and my relationship has gone on for a lot of years too, because John came to what was Montgomery as basketball coach, and then also Bar Reeve in the first year there. And, we went through some lean years in the early 60s, and when John came, we began to get back on the winning trails. And also that John also played fast-pitch softball with the Montgomery Merchants, a team that we wound up going to the state on several occasions, and mainly because of John. He was a leadoff man. And that's all he needed to get first base. It's a fast pitch, of course. So anyways, certainly want to congratulate John on his high school and college career, and certainly coming along and kind of getting some wins back in the Montgomery area. The early 60s was a pretty slim time for us. So, John, glad to be sitting here with you tonight.
Thank you.
Norm Beasley.
Yeah, John and I played against each other a lot, and he was so left-handed. Everything was left-handed, so the coach said, well, get on his left side. Well, you couldn't get there quick enough. He was quick. He could shoot the ball real well, and I can't say anything, but he was a heck of a ball player during the era that I was there. So I'm glad I got a chance to play against you. Thank you.
Jerry Osmond.
John and I played a lot of baseball together. Back then, for you people that might be a little younger, we called it independent baseball, and it was the old Washington Grays. And we played it, and Joe McDuffie sitting back here, who played pro ball, but John was, to me, one of the most phenomenal hitters in baseball. Like I said, he batted left-handed, but he could just slap it right over the shortstop anytime he wanted to, and just like he had eyes on it, the ball. But I always thought he could have played pro baseball, too. He's being very modest.
Now I want to talk about there's three Hall of Fame, Indiana Basketball Hall of Famers that from the 1950s. Since we're celebrating the 50s, we wouldn't be doing justice if we didn't recognize those three folks. Lloyd Bateman from Plainville Midgets was inducted in 2012. Lloyd Bateman was inducted in 2008. Larry Bud Graham from the Odin Bulldogs was inducted in 2012. And then Sam Alford, who we haven't talked much about yet tonight, and I know, Norm, you had communicated with Sam about being here, and he evidently is on his way to watch some UCLA team play this week. So, but Sam Alford is in the Hall of Fame. So three. You look at the board back we have at the back of the museum here of all of the Davis County players that are in the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Is actually pretty amazing to all be from one county. And these three are from the 1950s, and I wanted each one to get a little recognition. So, Jerry, do you want to talk about Lloyd Bateman and what he meant to Plainville and those teams?
I always want to talk about Lloyd Bateman. First of all, he's my dear friend, and he and I lived across the street from each other when he lived in Plainville. And if we weren't out in the fields working someplace or scooping corn or something, we were playing basketball on our outside court, which was an old dirt court behind the Standard Station. So that's where we did all of our playing. But he was about 6'5", 6'6", like I said earlier. But that was about as rare as a 7-footer today. So he was kind of a mountain of a man. I think some of you guys that had played against him might agree. And I think it was just amazing that he honestly, we were joking a while ago, but he honestly had not played basketball until he was an eighth grader. And
good thing he
doesn't have the mic, isn't it? But once he got to Plainville and we taught him what basketball is all about. I want to tell you just what some of the things this man did. He's a 4-year starter, and while he was playing varsity basketball, he won 81 games and lost 12. As a freshman, he averaged 16 points a game. As a sophomore, 22. As a junior, 27. As a senior, 25. He scored 53 points in one game. I think that might still be a Davies County record. I don't know whether Zellers broke that or not, but I think that was a he did that in the game that we scored 116 as a team, and he scored 53 up. The part I like to tell about that was at the half, we were beating Lions, who wasn't very good, and at the half he had 19 and I had 16. That was a real rarity for me to score much. And I was in my head, I was doubling that. I was thinking, boy, I might score over 30 points before the night's over. Well, I ended up with 19. He ended up with 53. But we always knew, just get the ball to him, he's either going to score or he's going to get fouled. And that's the way it was. But other than the 53 points in one game, now stop and think about this. He scored 46 in a game, 44 in a game, 42 in a game. He scored in the 30s 8 different times in his career. And he had 30 rebounds 3 different times. That's something. You would think all the colleges would be after him. Lloyd didn't like school. And he wasn't the least bit interested in college. And here we were, just a little old town 100 miles south of Indianapolis and 75 from Evansville, and outside of Knox and Davies County, as great as he was, he hadn't got a lot of recognition. But he started getting some college letters, and he would just throw them away and not answer them. And I just was all over him about that. And so finally, the Kentucky Wesleyan coach down here at Owensboro kept after him, and finally he said, all right, I'll come down and try it. So he said, I'll tell you what, we'll make it easy on you. We'll come. You start in the summer and work with the other players, and we got a job for you, and you can work and get acclimated and practice with them and everything before the season starts. And so his uncle George Bateman hauled him down there, and I think he beat George home almost. He stayed 1 or 2 days, and he got down there, and he said, that wasn't for me. Said, they're all a bunch of beer drinkers down there. And so Lloyd came home. He did not care to play college ball. He could have, but he joined the Army and served his country and served him well. So now, I'm not done with his accomplishments. He scored 2,078 points in his career. Now, this is 1957, 58. And there wasn't much publicity about it. Well, they got to checking, and the most anybody had scored in their career before that was 1,600. Now, this is all the state of Indiana, and he exceeded it by over 400 points. And so, of course, after 3-point shot came in and consolidation and everything, as a lot of others have gone higher than that, but Oscar Robinson didn't score 2078. George McGinnis didn't. A lot of those didn't. But our big, we call him the gentle giant. He was very shy, but he was kind. He was, most of all, he's extremely humble. So I can never say enough good about him. And when we finally got him in the Hall of Fame in 2008, we'd worked 10 years to get him in, and we were just not getting anywhere. About all the inductees were from up around Indianapolis and the metropolitan areas and so on. And so finally, we got him in, and we finally made him wear a tux. Everybody had to wear a tux to be inducted, and there's 1,000 people out here that he had to stand up and give a little speech for, and that was a lot of Plainville people made the trip up there, and it was a great moment for Plainville.
Thank you. And I believe up until several years ago, he was the leading scorer in the state in career points. Is that correct? Yes. Damon Bailey beat him. Okay, about 20 years ago. Norm Beasley, you played with a gentleman who was inducted in 2012, Larry Bud Graham. And I know he's in Florida. You tried to get Buddy here. But I want to tell you a little bit about, or tell us a little bit about Bud Graham.
He came from Scotland, Indiana, and he could have went to either Bloomfield or Odin, or he could have even went to Logoti, but we got our bids in early. Basically, he came out of a cave. He didn't have much, but he played ball all the time. And I remember my dad was principal up at Scotland there a couple of years, and my dad said, "There's a guy that's getting in that gym all the time. He's not doing any damage, but he just plays ball all the time." He said, "I want you to play against him." Although I'll take that Scotland boy to task, and we'll play a little ball in that gymnasium. I'm telling you, it's like two cats and dogs. We fought like crazy. And I knew right then I'd like to have that guy on my team. Now, you watch this guy play, and he was a lot quicker than you think he would be. He got 35 rebounds more than once in his high school career. 35 rebounds is unheard of for a guy that's 6'2". Our coach, he's all time putting Bud and I against each other. He'd put us like one-on-one against each other and just let us dog it out. And one day he said, "I want to see which one of you guys is the fastest." Well, I didn't think there's any doubt what I was faster than Bud Graham. I seen him lumber around. I think half of the school knew we was going to do that. Out there in front of the school, they blocked the thing off, and Bud Graham and I took off, and we ran 100 yards. And he beat me. He beat me soundly. Coach said, "You want to do this again?" I said, "Yes, I sure do." And he beat me again. Great friend of mine. I communicate with him a lot. He won two state championships in Illinois. He's won over 800 ball games. As a coach, he didn't really come down playing. As a coach, now he's in the Hall of Fame in Missouri. He's in the Hall of Fame in Illinois, and he's in the Hall of Fame in Indiana. And if you just would have known where he came from and what he had to start out with, there was nothing given to him. And our coach, we's all time. He liked to pick on a few of us, but he never would pick on Graham. Of course, that was a bit irritating. One day, someone said, "Why don't you ever pick on Graham? Is he your favorite?" He said, "He most certainly is." And there was no more discussion about that either. When he went to VU, he went into the last week at VU, and he was the leading scorer in the state of Indiana. But he had a bad game. He only scored 22, and somebody went nuts somewhere in the state and outscored him. But he was one of the top scorers all year at Vincennes, and he went on Texas Wesleyan and done well down there. Great friend of mine, tremendous basketball player. Everything he's got, he's deserved. Can't say enough good things about him. Thank you very much.
And then we have Sam Alford. I know Sonny and Sam G., you guys didn't play with Sam, but he's from Washington. Do you, one of you guys, care to tell us a little bit about your remembrances of Sam Alford? And I know, Norm, you might have a story or two because you played against him in both college and high school. Sam G.
I know Sam pretty well. He lived just a couple of blocks from my wife, Joyce, and was a good friend of Joyce's brother, R.B. McDuffie. Most of the time, well, all the time that he was playing basketball was after I was out of school, and then I was in Europe for 5 years and the Army, and so I really didn't, I really missed Sam's basketball career. I did know that he played for Franklin College, as I remember, and I remember that this is about the time they were making a big deal out of my foul shot percentage, as it was. But Sam Alford, if I remember correctly, he set the record at Franklin for the very same thing.
Every one of those Alfords can shoot free throws.
Right, and Steve even did much better for that. In fact, Steve was one of the first guys that broke my record. That's how long it lasted. So that's about all I know.
Norm, you got a quick story on Sam?
Well, I played against him in high school, and the fact that we beat him, that was always kind of a burr under his, you know, saddle. Then I played against him when he's at Franklin. Now, not only did he shoot well at Franklin, but he had a trophy. He had the best average in free throws in the nation. And the year before, the kid that played for us or their University of Indianapolis, he had won a trophy, 7 foot tall. So them guys could shoot free throws. Sam and I have been friends. I've talked to him this week, and he said he was going to get on a plane, be in L.A. this morning, so this is why he's not there. And Buddy Graham, he's in Florida. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, I'm not going to let you leave here without putting you on the spot. So we're going to close up by going around with the last comment from each one of you, and I want to ask you each a question. You're all answering the same question. Tell me the best Daviess County basketball player you either played with or saw play in the 1950s. And it can't be yourself, by the way. The best ball player in Daviess County in the 1950s and the best basketball team in the 1950s in the county. Sonny, you want to start?
No.
You can't vote for
yourself. Well, in the 1950s, I think we probably in the 1950s had the best basketball team.
53 team?
53 and 54. What happened to us in 54 was we should have been as good or better that year than we were in 53. But we had Don Babrick, which was a good basketball player. But because of me, I talked him into playing football. And when our senior year, the first game we played against Tell City, he was playing left halfback, and I told my dad, I'm going to call T66, and Don will score the touchdown. Well, I did, and he scored, but it was called back for holding or offside or something. I said, well, he did it once, he can do it again. So I called the same play, and the defense piled up in a pile, and he tried to jump over the pile, and bang, they hurt his knee. He was gone. And so he couldn't play any more football, so Ivan Holland tried to get him ready to play basketball, and he just was never the same. He had to wear that brace on his knee, and he was just not as effective as he could have been. I mean, he could handle that ball. He was dribbling the ball.
So you're saying, who's the best ball player you saw in the 50s? Basketball.
Oh, the first basketball player in the 50s? I don't know. Sam, probably. I wasn't too far behind.
All right. All right. Sam G., Sam G., tell us your opinion.
I don't know how to be the politician on this, but Sonny was an awful good player. And he was a good track person and outstanding football player. But basketball, I keep referring back to my my good friend Ryan Gill, who's no longer with us. But he was – Ryan didn't look like a ball player. He didn't act like a ball player. But, my God, when he had on that basketball court, he was a competitor, none better.
And your best team from the 50s. And it doesn't have to be Washington, guys.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but it can
but,
be.
But
can
it
be.
Is. All right.
I'd have to think that I'd have to vote for Washington in that case. If we have time, do you have time for me to tell one story on Ryan?
I'm going to blow my whistle. Technical foul on Sam G.
Can I tell one story?
Yeah, you can tell one real quick story.
Well, anyway, we were rolling along during the season, about the last game of the season. I think we were going to Tell City to play a game, and the bus driver was Harry, who's always our bus driver. But anyway, we get out to the go across the state line bridge, and Ryan gets up and goes up to the driver and says, "Harry, I have to go to the bathroom." And Harry said, "Coach, you got a guy who wants to go to the bathroom here." And Coach Holland said, "Come on, Ryan, we're running late now. You can't do that. Can't you just hold it then?" Ryan said, "Okay, I'll try." Anyway, Ryan no more than sets down, then gives up and goes back and says, "Coach, I've got to go to the bathroom." There we are out there in the flat area, all thing. We got a caravan following the bus. Ryan jumps off the bus, runs out in the middle of that field where everybody could see him and everything, and he's just standing there. Harry starts honking the horn, and so Ryan comes back, and the coach said, "What the hell's the matter, Ryan?" Ryan said, "Coach, I can't go to the bathroom with all those horns honking and all that." Coach says, "All right, Ryan, you set your ass down there and don't you get up anymore until we get there."
All right, good story. Jerry Osmond. Jerry, best player you ever saw come out of Davis County in the 1950s and the best team. Let's make it quick. We got to wrap up, guys.
I think everybody knows who I'm going to say the player, Lloyd Bateman. I'll pass on the team since we're short of time, but I will say this, that Bud Graham might have been close to Lloyd if Beasley had ever passed him the ball.
And with that, Norm Beasley.
And as my coach said, Norm, keep putting it up. Let him rebound. All right? And that's a true story, too. He said, "If I want you to stop shooting, I'll tell you." I mean, my attitude was, why make a good pass when you can take a bad shot, you know? I can't, in good faith, Lloyd Bateman scored a lot of points, okay? This is a tremendous accomplishment. But all over everything, I've got to go with my buddy Graham. That's how much I think of him. But Bud Test says the same thing you said about me not passing, by the way. You guys been talking against each other. But I shot a lot. I mean, I thought it was fun. The best team. This is a really difficult question to me.
You don't have to answer.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Albert Cavanaugh.
I'm a little disadvantaged in this. I have to admit, since we didn't play Washington Hatchets during the early part of the, well, during the 50s, except in the sectional, and I got to admit that being away for 2 years of seminary, 54 and 55, I didn't get a chance to see that, but I did see an awful lot of the Odin, Plainville teams, also WC. And so maybe this being politically correct here, that I'd have to say that Lloyd Bateman and the two dynamic duo of the Odin team of 59, goodness sakes, watching every game you guys played all through the sectional, the regional, and Semi-State, you sealed the deal as a team to be the best team I've seen. And, John, I tell you, this guy here as a ball player also, maybe that's making sure I don't get pounded on before I leave here. So, anyways.
What about the best team out of the 50?
Well, I said the Odin team of 59, the Odin team, because they sealed the deal. They got the farthest of any teams that I had seen through the 50s. Excuse me.
Doug, I want to qualify. I quit at 1954 because after that, I wasn't around here to see these people play.
That's fair.
So I just want people to understand why I said what I did.
John Brigham.
I think the best player I've seen play in the 50s was with Washington Hatchets. What's the little collared guy's name?
Charles Murray.
No, not Charlie Murray. Brayton Simmons. Brayton Simmons. That's the best player. It was in the 60s. Yeah, he was in 61, I think.
But he played in the 50s.
Yeah, he did play in the 50s. Yeah.
What about the best team in the 50s?
I'll have to say the Olden Bulldogs. It hurts me to say it, but I'll say it.
And with that, I hope everybody had a good time. We sure appreciate you guys all being here and going over your stories, and we appreciate all you've done for basketball and our memories, and you've meant a lot to us, and hope to see you next year when we talk about the 1960s. Thank you, and good luck to all teams in the sectional.
And thank you for listening to our special basketball memory show. Want to thank Parkview Village Christian Care in Odin, Brigham and Body Shop and Towing, the Montgomery Raritan Club, and Alan Bubalo, your Edward Jones Investment Advisor. I'm Dave Crooks from the Davies County Museum. Have a great night. Be sure to stop by the Glory Days display with Davies County sports teams through the years at your local Davies County Museum. Have a good night. Thanks for coming.